That's what I was going to say. So I won't repeat what you just said. But Christian Arcan is here in studio with us as well. And by the way, that was Kendrick Perkins talking about the relationship between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. At least he didn't say you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube like we've heard 48,000 times.
That ship has sailed. Cat's out of the bag.
That's right. What was the one thing you can't?
Can't unring the bell.
Yeah, no, you can't do any of those things. But I was saying earlier, you know, it could end all that if Jason Tatum just put out one tweet saying, I love this guy or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that can end it. But there has been so many angles and so many different things to read from the last 48 hours with the failed Giannis trade. So we need to get an expert on here, someone who can straighten us out. Noah Dalzell, this is her first time on the show with us. She's a writer for Celtics Blog and the You Got Boston podcast. You should follow her at actually, you know what? I want to make sure I'm doing it. Is it at Noah Dalzell, Noah?
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, excellent. She is a must-follow if you are a Celtics fan. And so, Noah, what do you make of what's happened over the last 48 hours as far as the future of Jaylen Brown on the Celtics is concerned?
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss here. And I'd be lying if I said I knew for sure what was going on and what's going to happen in the future. I don't think anybody really knows. But my read on the situation is that at some point since the conclusion of the regular season, you know, after the playoffs, you know, when they blew the 3-1 lead, between then and now, something along the lines of the relationship between the Celtics and Jaylen has been, you know, hindered. And whether it's exclusively because they offered him in a trade to Milwaukee for Giannis or because of other things that we don't really have the kind of context right now, I'm not sure. But listening to Brad Stevens talk, I was at the Auerbach Center the other night after the first round of the draft, and normally he would just say confidently, you know, Jaylen Brown is a critical part of our future. We want him here. We are going to work to make this happen. And he didn't say that. And I think he could have just said, listen, when a generational Hall of Fame player like Giannis becomes available, you have to inquire. And that's what we did. And we're really happy with our core. And I feel like I was a little surprised. If you'd asked me, we've been doing this before that press conference, I would have said, I think Jaylen's going to stick around. And this was more exclusive to just a Giannis offer. But now, in the days to follow, I get the sense that this might be the end of the road for him in Boston.
Yeah, no, you asked Brad a great question about the whole, you know, Jaylen Brown said that he would be around for 10 years and or he would play here for 10 years if you had him. And you're right. It was like it seemed like Brad was using past tense when talking about Jaylen Brown and his time here and how much they've loved having him here. And now you've even got Brian Windhorst saying that he's gone. Like he's 100% convinced. If you had to put a percentage on whether or not he is going to be a member of the Celtics at the beginning of next season, what would that percentage be?
I think there's like a 30% chance he'll be a Celtic next year.
Wow.
And that's just, again, that's just my intuition. And I honestly don't love to say that because I think that they're much better off having him here in Boston. Unless they were to get a player like Giannis, like they're probably not going to get better with this kind of trade. But that's just my gut feeling. Like I have a hard time envisioning him here back in Boston after the way the summer has unfolded. And we do know that this team feels like they were not good enough, right? That was like where I first realized it was not just a bad series against Philadelphia. Brad Stevens looked at us 2 days later and said, we were not good enough. Our record wasn't as good as it seemed. We weren't good against good teams. And I think that has a lot to do with what we're seeing here is that there's not a lot of ways to dramatically change this roster if you keep two Supermax contracts on the books. So, I don't think he's going to be back anymore. I feel like all the indications are pointing against that, but I'm kind of bummed to say that, honestly, because I think that there's a good chance that this could be a mistake for this franchise.
By the way, a little bit of breaking news. Jaylen Brown has just tweeted that he will be going live on his Twitch stream at 5 p.m. Jeez. Eastern, so he's going to be talking again. He, along with Whale and Smino,
oh, wow.
Who I'm not familiar with. So
Wale?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Wale.
Yeah. Wale. Yeah, who's actually playing across the street here from Fenway Park.
That shows you how old and white I am.
It's a rapper, so, Ken.
Okay. Well, they'll be going. They'll be going live at 5. So, Noah, a quick question, though. If you're right and they do move on, and it seems like everybody's going that way, who are they in the market for? I don't even know who to root for anymore. Who is the big target that they're looking at?
I don't know. I mean, it has to be a front court player, right? That's what this roster is currently lacking. I know Chris Mannix reported that other teams speculated there was some interest in Evan Mobley. I'm not sure that trade honestly makes sense for Cleveland or for Boston, but we'll see. And then you look around the league, it's like there's Rudy Gobert with the Wave, you know, or Minnesota's made their big splash for LaMelo Ball. I'd be surprised if they moved on from yet another piece of last year's team. There's nobody that's really exciting me that much. I mean, I like Trey Murphy from New Orleans. Reportedly, he's they're looking to move on from him, or they're very much open to trading him. I think he's a great scorer. He's somebody that's young. His best days are probably ahead of him, but he's not Jaylen Brown, right? So it's possible that what we see here now that the Giannis ship has sailed, that they turn him for, you know, they trade him for parts and picks and things that maybe down the road make this team better, but in the immediate short term make this team worse. And instinctively I'm against that because it feels like this core, this championship window has not yet closed and you still have Jason Tatum in his prime and Derek White. And I feel like they could still make this thing work. But listen, it's hard to also doubt Brad Stevens with the track record that he has, where almost every move he's made as general manager has, you know, turned out to be the right move when you look back at it. So he knows what he's doing. It's just right now it does feel like I have to wonder if maybe Jaylen wants out or if there's a reason why there's an urgency to trade him. And maybe there's not. And maybe my gut instinct is wrong. I wouldn't be disappointed. But sitting at that press conference, all Brad had to say is, you know, we want him here in Boston in the fall. And that's our hope. And that's our intention. And we're going to work hard to make that happen. And I would think, okay, maybe there's a relationship to be mended, but they want him back. And that's just not the way that he sounded at the podium.
Yeah, totally. Noah, we're going to put you on hold for 1 second because the phone's a little cracked. We're going to reestablish your phone connection. So hang on 1 sec. We're going to put you on hold, and Jackson's going to call you right back. And in the meantime, Stiz, could you play the clip of Shams talking about this trade that LaMelo Ball was just involved in and how it affected Jaylen Brown, or how they were targeting Jaylen Brown as well? Do you happen to have that clip by any chance there, Stiz?
This is why the Timberwolves, though, made this deal, right? Like, they needed an infusion of talent, someone at that point guard slot. They want someone to come in and take the onus off of Anthony Edwards when they need it. And there were two paths that the Timberwolves were taking the last 24, 48 hours. It was seeing, can we go get LaMelo Ball? Or can we go get Jaylen Brown? They had conversations with the Celtics about Jaylen Brown the last 24 hours. But it always comes down to price. How much do you have to pay? Do you have to give up 2-3 of your core pieces? They're not willing to trade Jaden McDaniels at this point. Mm-hmm. Him and Anthony Edwards, that relationship, how much they feel like Jaden McDaniels has taken that step to be a star caliber player. So if you can go get LaMelo Ball, yes, you're getting off of Naz Reid. He's a high-level rotation player for you. He was going to step into the starting role.
Okay, that's all I need for Shams. It doesn't it seem, you know, maybe I'll ask Noah. Is Noah back? Let's see. We got her.
There she is.
Noah, thanks. Sorry about that. We just had to adjust your phone connection real quick. Noah, do you think that, because we just heard, obviously, that, you know, LaMelo Ball was chosen over Jaylen Brown. It sounded like the team wanted to go one way or the other to make the trade, that being the Timberwolves. And then they didn't bite. The Bucks did not bite at what was being offered up, essentially Jaylen Brown and a couple of picks from Brad Stevens. Do you think that maybe the Celtics have overestimated Jaylen Brown's value in the eyes of other teams?
I mean, it's possible. I've talked to people around the league, and his value is supposedly still very high. So I've seen a lot of people in Boston say, well, if his value is so high, then why haven't they traded him yet? It doesn't mean that there aren't good packages out there that would bring back value. It just means that there's not a package that's been worth pulling the trigger for yet, right? It's possible they're considering various things. The Celtics keep things very close to the vest, so I wouldn't be, you know, it could be this hour where all of a sudden he gets traded for a haul, and we're all kind of wondering why we had that conversation. But the return on LaMelo Ball, in my eyes, was pretty weak. It's effectively Naz Reid and a first-round pick and a couple of pick swaps that might actually not pan out, because I don't know that Minnesota is going to be a worse team than Charlotte those years, right? So it's effectively a first-round pick and Naz Reid, who is a high-level role player, but somebody who's been coming off the bench, right? So it's very possible that Boston would have scoffed at that return and wanted much more than that for Jaylen. I would be surprised if they would have accepted that return. So I know I've seen the reporting of, like, they chose the LaMelo package over Jaylen, but yeah, we have no reason to think it's for the same value. And I do know that his value is much higher now than it was a year ago at this time. Like, many people I've spoken to have said, you know, teams were very impressed by what he was able to do during this past season without Jason Tatum as the number one guy, the kinds of performances he had. And because it ended so sour, I think a lot of people, even locally, have forgotten what that year looked like. and how effective he was and how many big time performances he had. But because at the end of the day, all that matters is the playoffs in Boston, right? Like we don't care about January, but teams were impressed with how he played. So I'd be surprised if they do move him if it's for a weak return.
Noah, there's been a lot made about Jason Tatum and his influence or maybe impact on all of these proceedings. Any word on Joe Mazzulla and if he's had any sort of input on these potential trade packages or anything like that? Is he part of this? Is he someone that they're sort of going to get input on?
Yeah, I mean, Joe and Brad have a very close relationship, and they have for a long time. It's a unique dynamic because obviously he was one of Brad's assistant coaches, and so they have, it kind of goes all the way back to that. And I know that they've been in regular communication. I know that they've both been in the building, and it's like any decisions that the Celtics make is not made in a vacuum, right? Like they've committed to Joe long-term. And I think that he is somebody that is very much a decision maker, just like Brad. It's obviously he's not the ultimate guy that's pulling the trigger. So I'm not sure exactly where he kind of lands on all of this, but I will say the Jason Tatum stuff is interesting because it would just be so out of line or out of left field for him to get publicly involved in this sort of thing. Like, I'm not sure. And I know that they're actually both, I think, in the same city in Europe right now, Jason and Jalen. I have no idea if they've had conversations or not, but like, I've seen the pressure of like, oh, why isn't he tweeting or why isn't he speaking out? When have we ever seen anything like that? And especially for somebody like Jason Tatum, who is so buttoned up and so PR trained and never really says things like that. Like if there is a back and forth right now between Brad Stevens and Jalen and an open line of communication, and they're trying to figure out what's best and where both parties want to go, for Tatum to get publicly involved would be like pretty unprecedented. So I'm not sure why that became like a big theme and critique both in Boston and nationally around kind of how he should behave right now.
How would you characterize their relationship then?
Tatum and Browns?
Yeah.
I think highly professional. Like, you know, there's an outside view of people want them to be really close friends. I don't think, I have never gotten the sense that they're really close friends, but they've been kind of co-leaders of this franchise for a long time, and getting to the top of the mountain in 2024 was very rewarding, I think, for both of them because they did it with each other. And up until this point, they have committed, they both spoken about this publicly, privately, like whenever they've hit a crossroad in the road, they've looked at each other and said, you know, do you still want to be here? Do I still want to be here? We both want to keep doing this, right? That doesn't mean that can't change at some point, and maybe this is the summer where that does change. But to date, I think they just very much respect each other. They push each other to be better. But they're not best friends, right? And I think that if it would be, like, if Tatum and White were the two co-stars, like, those guys have obviously have more of, like, a public-facing friendship, I think people's questions around this stuff would be absolved.
Well, Noah, your opinion has completely contradicted the insider named Robot Dave on Twitter, who said that they do not get along at all, so I actually was sent that, and I was like, hang on, did anybody check the name of the person who tweeted this out? It's at Robot Dave. I don't think that person with, I think, maybe 300 followers is someone I should trust, Noah.
Yeah, and again, it's like, I'm not trying to sell this vision of, like, oh, these two guys. Like, I see sometimes the fans have these Twitter edits, and they're like, these two guys, they love each other so much, they're best friends, like, you could never separate them. I think they're two guys that have been competitive over the years, like, they play, they're the same age, same position, like, there are some natural factors that have made this dynamic so, you know, hot button for the national media. But yeah, again, I've been around them for the last few years. I've never gotten the sense that there's like a problem there. And I've never heard that from anybody else that there's a problem there. There are a lot of egos in this business, right? There's a lot of people a lot of relationships that sour at times and people that snap at each other and all that. And this to me just feels like a tension point that's not really there that we've just put a lot of time and energy into.
Well, Noah, it looks like you're going to be on Twitch soon. Sitting in.
That's for sure.
Yeah, T-minus 45 minutes.
Plans.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Noah, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. You can follow her at @NOADALZELL. Did I spell that correct, Noah?
Yeah, that's correct. Thanks so much.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That comes from somebody with a last name, certainly. So I got to know how to spell last names correctly. She also writes for the Celtics blog and the You Got Boston podcast. Thank you, Noah, for coming on with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Twitch. He's going to Twitch, and he's going to talk about Jason. How great would it be if he went on Twitch, and it opens up, and you click, and the first face you see, Jason Tatum.
And whale.
Huge.
And whale.
Yeah.
And
How is Wale? Should I be in the know?
Oh, he's good. Yeah.
Is
very,
he?
Very good rapper.
Yeah, well, but my,
is he going to rap on stream tonight?
My cousin directed a Wale video. Wow. Hey, how about that?
Wow.
3 degrees of awesome. So I kind of know
which
someone
one?
Might know.
Right.
You know? Payne, the one who's Up and Vanished. He did that whole podcast thing.
Cool.
All right, 617-779-7937. We will take your calls on all things Jalen Brown and Whale right after this. Nice. It is 937 WEEI. Is this Ken's favorite rapper, Whale?
One and only.
Otherwise known as the properly pronounced Wale.
I did that before with another rapper on Greg's show. I can't remember it, but I'm classic at that. I got to look twice before you speak.
Is this Tupac?
Tupac, I know.
Wale is playing across the street at the House of Blues. We're at Fenway right now. They play at the House of Blues tonight. But more importantly, he will be on Jalen Brown's stream that he's going to be doing on Twitch very soon. And we will give you the latest on that. Okay, so it's Rich, Ken, and Chris Narcan here in studio. And unfortunately, this is one of those times where, you know, it kind of sucks to be a member of the media to have to be in the same boat as this. So the Mirror, do you know the Mirror?
The Daily Mirror.
UK? Yeah, Daily Mirror, yeah. UK and stuff. There is an article that they just posted. And the gist of the article, like the meat of it, when you read what it is, it says, New England Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer and NBC Sports Boston host Kayla Burton are engaged after the former proposed on June 19th at Swami's Beach in San Diego, California.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, I saw that.
You want to know what the headline was?
Good.
Patriots coach engaged to NFL reporter after Mike Vrabel Diana Rossini scandal.
Oh, come on.
I mean, come on.
A couple of happy kids.
Like, what do
I... At least they're marrying each other.
There is clickbait, and then there is, oh my sweet Lord, what are you doing, clickbait? Patriots coach engaged to NFL reporter after Mike Vrabel Diana Rossini scandal. That's the headline they came up with.
Hey, it's actually true, man. I commend them.
They're not lying. It's true. I mean, right. It's not a big deal, but they're not lying.
I try to get clickbait on every podcast I put up.
Okay.
She's more of a Celtics. Like, yeah, I see her on Celtics pregame. I don't even see her on NFL that much.
Correct. Yeah.
Right.
But she does the. I think she does the post game show. Or does Holly still host that? On
she
NBC
definitely
Sports
does.
Boston?
She definitely does a lot of stuff on NBC Sports Boston.
Yeah. No, but they say
I
like
see her
NFL
on Celtics
pregame.
I don't know if I've. I don't know if I've seen her on. Yeah, yeah. Patriot. I mean, maybe I have. I don't know. Everybody's on everything.
She seems great, but I just love how they were trying to twist this into something that it absolutely is not, which is ridiculous. All right. I originally was going to talk really bad on the Red Sox. But we have a...
Don't have the heart.
I don't have a heart because I'm looking to my left and there's a line full of families.
They're really happy.
I might want to wait like 10 minutes until they go in.
These kids got to grow up sometime. They got to learn the truth sometime about this.
Can we use a code word for Red Sox? Is there anything we can... The Whales.
Savannah Bananas.
The Whales.
I love the Whales. They're going to win tonight.
Go Whales.
The hardcore rapper Whale. Because, man, this team's awful.
The Whales really suck this year.
I mean, there's one like kid looking at me. He's like the nice. He's like the Cracker Jack kid.
I know. It's a beautiful family you have here.
I know, and I don't want to talk bad on the Red. I can't even look at him right now. Like my back is to the window. I can't look, and I just want to talk about this Breslow thing about how he's like.
No, you can't. It's a great night at the park. It'd be perfect weather in there.
Oh,
tonight.
It's going to be the weather's going to be great.
Oh and, yeah, then the game's going to start. Then they're going to say play ball.
You know what? Maybe I don't even need to speak for a moment. Maybe I just play you a highlight of Marcelo Meyer from last night. Let's take a listen, shall we?
0-2. The pitch is a ground ball on the left side. Meyer's got an easy chance. He flips and he bobbles. That's an error on Marcelo Meyer. That was way, way, way too casual from Meyer. And now, with two down in the seventh inning, the Rockies in this ballpark will bring the tying run to the plate.
Yeah, and we all know what happened after that.
And he bobbles.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. The Sox go from being up 3 to the Rockies tying things up, and then the Sox go on to lose 8-6. There's only one team in the majors with a worse record than the Red Sox, and they just beat you.
Mm. Well, I will. The only silver lining there is I give Meyer credit for taking the full blame after the game and using an expletive to do so. Like, good for him. Like, he could have been, you know, petulant about it or not spoken to the media. At least he took – I mean, I'm grasping here. I mean – he's a young guy. He's part of your core. Like, yeah. I just think you still, You still believe in Meyer. He's a good shortstop. He obviously
he might be going to the minor league soon, Ken. No, I mean, yes, he. If Roman Anthony comes back up, why would you keep him up here? That was Will and Will were both talking about that last night after that play.
This is the minor leagues.
That's all true. That's a good point. Actually.
Can I do something real quick? What name is on the back of all your jerseys? Who are you guys buying jerseys for? Still Roman?
David Ortiz.
Okay, Ortiz.
JD Martinez.
Okay, we got a David Ortiz. I like it.
JD Martinez. Any current players? Anybody?
No. JD Martinez. Any current players on the shirts, on the jerseys out there?
Well, Bradfo is reporting that Trevor Story is closer to returning than he thought. 8 weeks instead of 12 he's been hitting, so he might be coming back. So there you go. You want star power? We get Trevor Story back.
Hell yeah, because the injuries right now are just, I mean, it is kind of funny how the Globe confirmed what Chad Tracy told us the other day about Roman Anthony, that Roman hasn't made any substantive progress during the road trip. Man, isn't that weird? It's been, because this didn't seem like that bad of an injury when it happened. It was like, just, oh, my hand. Like, it wasn't like it didn't get hit in the hand. It was just, hey, my hand. And isn't it strange that 2 months have gone by and
he's just gripping a bat? Yes. That's very strange. Very strange thing.
It's probably the strangest thing to happen. I know we did the top 10, you know, big board, live draft. But Roman, when you look back on this year, his absence, like, all the pressure was on him, probably unfairly, but he was the great hope, you know, coming off the World Baseball Classic, and he was supposed to anchor your lineup and be your new, you know, not Aaron Judge, but, you know, your star. And his absence definitely is just shocking.
And then we had Caleb Durbin, the one guy, thanks to our man Lorenzo, who was hitting, getting yanked from the game yesterday with a dislocated pinky after sliding into first base. Oh, the reports are that he dodged a bullet.
Yeah, he's back.
And no one expects it. But this experiment of like, what names are on the back of jerseys here, Noah, when they open things up, which is going to be in about 30 minutes, I would love for you to go to, if you could, if you wouldn't mind, one of the, like, there's a merch store right here, right at the end. Can you just ask them, you don't have to record it, just ask them, what are the three highest selling player jerseys right now in the clubhouse? Like, what are they selling the most? What player?
You want to make this interesting?
What's that?
You want to bet on what the highest selling jerseys are?
Okay. Because it's not going to be a current player. It's going to be David Ortiz.
Might be David Ortiz.
It's going to be David Ortiz.
Like Yaz or something.
I guarantee you it's David Ortiz. Yeah. I bet he'll be number one. And it's, I mean, how long has it been since he's been here?
Harry Hooper.
Okay. Roman Anthony's probably still number one.
Anthony,
right?
Crochet.
Okay.
I don't even know the third one.
Okay, how about this? Let's find out what the highest selling non-injured player jersey is.
I'll just do a bunch of, like, current players, non-current players, non-injured players
as
well.
Or just ask straight up, what is the highest-selling non-injured Red Sox player's jersey right now?
Okay, I'll do that.
Because who would it be?
They probably get the green jerseys without a number on them. Just give me the plain green Red Sox jersey.
Well, are we selling the Magic of Harry Potter night jerseys that you could get? So it's a Hufflepuff. That was the funniest thing when I saw a guy in a Harry Potter Red Sox jersey screaming at, I think, who was it? It wasn't Caleb Durbin. It was, Wyler Abreu. It was so great. He's like screaming at him, and he's like, and it says like Hufflepuff on the back.
Well, their one all-star we thought was Contreras, and he's like, what, seventh in voting at first base?
I've never seen a Contreras jersey. It's his first year, so you're not going to see like a lot. I haven't seen one of them.
That's a great question. Yeah. Okay. We'll take your calls. Let's make a pool out of it.
You can get traded. Why buy one?
617-779-7937. Noah's about to go to the souvenir shop here. We want to know what right now is the number one selling current player jersey who is not injured. All right?
I bet Rafaela. That's who I'm going with.
Ooh.
Durant. I bet it's Durant. Even though he's had a horrible year, but I think it still could be.
You think Jaren Duran?
He's popular enough, yeah.
Okay.
Non-injured, yeah, one of those two.
Oh, man.
That's what I'd go with.
I'm going to have to think about that one over the break. All right, we'll think about it. We'll have Noah do it here in just a few.
And he bobbles.
Getting on my last damn nerves, I ain't going to lie. I mean, he's so full of I want to throw up. Suddenly, we're unethical because we're telling you how your comments came across.
Oh, Stephen A. Smith. You love getting real loud. Oh, he is just the best. And Jaylen Brown has made Stephen A. a very happy man by mentioning him once again. It is Rich, Ken, Christian Arcan here at the Ford Clubhouse at Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Employee Pricing for All. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. Noah has gone to check out. It was a very scientific experiment. We were going to see what the highest selling currently non-injured player on the Red Sox jersey is selling the most. I don't know which one it would be.
What is your bet?
Oh, I got. You know what? I didn't even come up with it. I would have to say that
I'm going,
it is going to
Put
be
me in for Duran.
I'm trying to think of like what ones who aren't injured have I seen around other than Jaren Duran. I don't want to do Jaren Duran because you already picked that. I want to pick something different.
Mickey Gasper's hot right now.
Like, I see like Yoshida jersey sometimes.
Oh, Chapman.
Chapman.
I'm going to say Chapman. Aroldis Chapman. It should be really funny.
He'll be a Yankee by the end of the week.
Because he's gone. Yeah. Like all these players, like even Jaren Duran. Yeah. There's rumors that he'll be gone. Yeah. So how funny would it be if like the two highest non-injured selling jerseys are two people who are going to be gone? Is that Noah right there? Oh, here. Let him in. We locked him.
No, leave him out.
We sent him to do something, and we locked him out by accident.
He's got the key.
They think it's the paparazzi trying to come in here and talk to us. All right, we'll talk to him in just a second. Let's go to Andrew on line one. Andrew, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just weighing in a little bit on the good conversation you guys are having about the Celtics.
Yeah.
I love Brown. I love Tatum. And I understand it's a business, and, you know, if Brown gets traded away, it's the thing that happens. But are you guys nervous at all about, you know, Tatum, you know, kind of still coming back from injury? I feel like that would be the most painful, you know, option of, you know, Brown gets traded away and Tatum unfortunately gets hurt again. I'm interested what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, and Andrew, I had a nightmare when they were going after Giannis, that Giannis would get here. Giannis would break down instantly because he's a 31-year-old big man, and then Tatum never fully recovered from his injury, and we were just stuck with nothing and no Jaylen Brown. That was a realistic thing that I had bad nightmares about happening. But right now, I think realistically, he's going to come back and be fine. But this whole thing where they're talking about now that you can't get Giannis, and there could be, there's other names that have been thrown around. This Mobley deal with the Cavs is BS. Like, they can't do that.
Well, I have a source.
They better not.
Well, my main reason is that, you know, first of all, Evan Mobley is obviously a very good player. He's 24 years old, defensive player of the year. Very, very good. But you're going to make the Cleveland Cavaliers a better team if you give them Jaylen Brown. They are in the East. You don't need to be helping anybody in the East get better, significantly better. Don't you think that that's an upgrade? Them, like, minus Evan Mobley plus Jaylen Brown?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Mobley has, his label is he's soft, right? So, but I texted my buddy. He's in the front office in Cleveland. We grew up together.
Ooh.
He says, sick brag, hard-pressed to believe that this team, although they need a shakeup, that already has a shortage of big men, would give another one away for a scoring guard. It's a position that is literally the very last of the Cavs' multiple concerns right now. So he's not buying it. Take that for what you will. I mean, I have definitely heard smoke out there. Mannix is all over this. I don't think it's like if you could get Mobley and a couple other pieces, I guess you would think about it. But it's depressing. They blew it with Giannis. There's nothing left. There are no good options.
I agree. And I think that what you have to do now is you've got to have Brad Stevens talk to Jaylen Brown, talk him down, which I definitely think he's got the skills to do. He's a good GM. This isn't the first time Jaylen Brown's name has been thrown out there in speculation. And just say, hey, man, we are going to keep you. Don't worry. We're done looking around. You know, obviously the Giannis thing was something we considered, but we are not going to do that anymore. We're going to move ahead, and we want you to be a huge part of this. We're going to try to find some sort of big man to put around you, and we're going to go for another run. Now,
we'll trade you.
We're cool, right?
We'll trade you at the deadline.
Yeah, right. We'll trade you at the deadline. We're cool, right? But I mean, but you know, they're paying him $1 zillion. That's part of the gig.
Right.
Part of the gig is that you could get traded. And Jaylen and
the 2-year extension is out there. I do think that is you could do goodwill and say, look, we weren't going to do this, Jaylen, but let's pick up those extra 2 years.
It is the ultimate, you know, like kiss and make up. You know, it's like, you know, buying a, you know, piece of jewelry for your girl when after you get in a fight.
That works, doesn't it?
But in this case,
look at Vrabel got the misses at the Utah airport.
Pink hoodie.
Right? It's like a big, what was it, the duty free?
Yeah,
got her a big thing of Toblerone and some alcohol.
No, they're fine.
I just don't. But the problem with, there's a big problem with all of this. And that's when you step back and you say, okay, if you give them the 2-year extension, then everything's going to be all fine and good. as a Celtics fan, do you really want them to lock into that much money and that many years with a team that really couldn't pull it off? They got embarrassed the past two seasons.
But I think it's the best playoffs? Of your options, because I think what you don't want is to trade Jaylen for a bunch of young guys when you have Tatum in his prime.
Yes.
Right? Arkin, how frustrating would that be when you get a bunch of 20-year-olds around?
Yeah, it would be brutal. It would be a brutal way for this to end. It would be a brutal way for the Jays era to end here if that's what you end up doing. If you end up trading Jaylen Brown over hurt feelings because the Giannis thing didn't go through and you didn't really have a plan B, that's the other thing. I've heard from a lot of different people, Celtics writers and everybody. Well, the Celtics, Brad Stevens is smart. He's going to have a plan B. Where's plan B?
Right.
You know, this is a couple of days later now, and I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing any good offers. I'm not hearing any good names. I haven't heard any Ken Laird pivots. I haven't heard anything. There's nothing. Where's plan B?
I have nothing. I mean, I don't. Trey Murphy doesn't make sense.
Trey Murphy?
What is that? What is
that? I don't even know what Trey Murphy looks like.
You know what's great is that I think that plan B was we're just going to keep Jaylen. But it might be out of his control now.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to Windhorse. If you don't mind, Stiz, can you pull up the Windhorse? Listen to how confident this manly man is telling you about how he truly thinks that Jaylen Brown is gone.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, he's going to get traded. Okay. I mean, Brad Stevens came out. Obviously, they offered him very strongly for the, to the Bucks. The Brad Stevens came out and said many, many wonderful things about him and respectful and all that stuff. He never said he wasn't trading him.
Yeah.
Which he obviously could have done. And he met with Jaylen before this happened. And he didn't meet with him to say, hey, are you summering in Greece? Are you summering? Are you going to try the Mediterranean? Like, he obviously told him that they're seriously going to, a chance they're going to trade him. So now whether they can find a trade that, because look, Jaylen Brown is 29 years old coming off his best season under contract for 3 years. Those are things that you like, mm-hmm. you want. It's not a guarantee that they're going to be able to find a deal that they like that's going to improve the team. But I think they are intending to trade him.
You can't trade him for 50 cents on the dollar to save face. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, you. If you're the Celtics, you're going to have to kiss his ass now. You're going to have to try to figure out a way to make this work.
I think Houston is the only option. It's Şengün, who was an all-star this year. He's an offensive player. He's not a great defensive, like, rim protector, if that's what you're looking for. Not a great shooter. I like that. But then you put a couple, like, you know, other pieces around him, Jabari Smith Jr., if you have the point of no return and Jaylen demands that he be let out, that I guess like Houston, maybe Portland, I guess. I don't know the Portland roster well enough. Donovan Klingon, who was UConn, the big man, and you have great. A couple pieces around him. You know?
Avizia, what's the guy's name? They have one good player. I forget his name, though.
I don't think they'll trade.
Scoot Henderson, you know, guys like that. Right. Like, if that's what you end up trading Jaylen Brown for, then that's...
You're just...
A disaster. I mean, that's a disaster.
Disaster. What you're left with.
Full-on disaster.
This feels like we're getting Jeff Green and Nad Krstić.
Yeah.
Would you have rather... if they had convinced Minnesota to do the deal with Naz Reid, I wouldn't have liked that. Like, Naz Reid and a bunch of picks.
Giannis was the only player that was out there that it would have been worth giving up Jaylen Brown for. Everything else I hear is that you are absolutely selling yourself short. Now, one thing you can say, and it sure does seem this way, is that the market for Jaylen Brown isn't as robust as we thought that it was. And their opinion of him apparently isn't as high as it absolutely should be. I mean, it really should be a lot higher. People should be giving up. I mean, they keep saying it. This guy was in consideration for MVP this year.
Well, again, he's going on Twitch at 5 o'clock. I think that's hurting his value. He just will not stop. He's addicted to it.
You know what? But maybe he wants his value to be hurt because he wants to stay a Celtic. Maybe he doesn't want to move.
This relationship is over.
Yeah, thank you, Kendrick. I love Kendrick Perkins. I do. And you know what? I don't think that he's got any kind of inside info with the Celtics anymore. I think he's made enough enemies over there.
But maybe with players. I think the players talk. One thing I thought, ESPN had the Morris twins on, Markeith and
Marcus
who played here. And they had a couple interesting things. The one thing that they said that I thought was, Marcus Morris said, I think Jaylen has been a little bit too wordy about his own goals. Then went on to say, but why doesn't Tatum get discussed in trades? And then to that, Markeith said, because Tatum keeps his mouth shut.
That's part of it. I'm telling you, if you just, I wonder how much they would be considering trading Jaylen Brown if he hadn't said anything. Mm. I know that they would want to be making some sort of change, but I don't know if they would have been so eager to just throw Jaylen Brown out there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also think his value is much higher than Tatum's at the moment. Tatum may be a better player, but he's coming off an injury. He missed game 7. He couldn't play. So I can't imagine if this is what you're getting in terms of offers for Brown, then the Tatum offers probably aren't any better, wouldn't be any better. You think that he's the better player, so you don't trade him. That's like a bad time to do it.
I can understand why you say that. I do disagree, though. I think Tatum is a – I think he might have out of maybe like five or six players with a better value than him right now.
I mean, Tatum's even after the injury?
Yeah, even after the injury. I think there's a belief that he's going to come back to him. Yeah.
And I hope that he does, but, you know, the injury was a big deal, and then he couldn't post in Game 7. So, you know, like, I don't think that helped his value.
No, it didn't. But this is a weird spot that they're in, and all I know is that Stephen A. Smith is challenging Jaylen Brown to a debate, which is going to suck like the last time they got together, where Jaylen Brown's like, you have a great show, number one show, you know, taking over the world. And it's like, I thought you were angry at him. Like, you've been so mad. You've been talking so much trash. It's like, it's amazing how when people actually meet face-to-face,
I know.
Like when they're behind a computer and stuff, they're all angry, but then they meet just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah, like two dogs barking through a fence, and then you move the fence, and they're like, going, like
hey, what's like, up? How you doing? All right, 617-779-7937. We'll be right back.
Here's a ground ball on the left side. Meyer's got an easy chance. He flips, and he bobbles. That's an error on Marcelo Meyer. That was way, way, way too casual from Meyer.
Just didn't get the ball out of the glove. That just can't happen. Just a brutal error, obviously. It ended up costing us a game. To me, like, that's the most routine ground ball I could possibly get. This game's 100% on me. Because you had a bad day, you take it one down,
you sing a sad song just to turn it around. Oh, man. They just find new ways to lose, don't they? It is Rich, Ken, Christian Arcan here at Studio 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We are right now Fenway Park at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and employee pricing for all. You pay what we pay. Ford, the official vehicle of Major League Baseball and that dirty water. And like about an hour ago, we were talking and there was a line outside, still a line outside, of people ready to go into the Red Sox game. And I was starting to feel kind of bad having to talk trash about them because there were like kids and families and stuff. It's like, come on, kids, let's go to the ballpark. But watching them, they're all in the Red Sox gear. It got me thinking, like, what jerseys are they buying? What jerseys are being sold from this team that aren't injured players? Like, take Roman Anthony
or
out.
Or alumni.
Yeah, because when I looked over there, we're like, hey, turn around. Let's see what jerseys you're wearing. It was David Ortiz. Did you say it was J.D. Drew? Was that one of the other ones?
J.D. Martinez.
That's right. It was J.D. Martinez. And there was, it was Ortiz, Martinez. No current players. And so I started.
Oh, we got a Mookie Betts right here too.
And a Mookie Betts. All previous players.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Like whose jersey are people are buying when they come to the Red Sox game with this team, non-injured? So we took out Roman Anthony, Garrett Cochet, and so
narrow window.
It's very strange. So we all placed a bet, and we said, you know, we all tried to figure out who it was, and we sent Noah, our intern, over to the big merch place right down the hall here.
Yeah.
And we had him ask them, what are the two highest selling jerseys? What player jerseys are the two highest selling of the non-injured players? And now, who did you guess?
I guessed Jaren Duran.
Okay. And what did you guess?
Rafael. It's not Rafael.
Okay. And I guess Aroldis Chapman.
Okay.
Which, by the way, I don't think I've seen.
I've never seen one Aroldis Chapman.
I don't think I've seen a Chapman jersey, yeah. But I'm.
But it's not a bad buy because he's an all-time great, and you could keep that forever. And he had great years here, and if you love Breslow, good job, Breslow. You did something good. You know it's one of your guys.
But ironically, Chapman and Jaren Duran are the two biggest names that are right now being rumored in trades, the trade deadline. So, Noah, you went and you asked, can you give us the top two names?
Yes, coming in first place, we have Jaren Duran.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jaren Duran.
And second place, Wilson Contreras.
Oh, wow. Contreras. Okay, a lot of big Contreras fans.
Yeah, well, so it's merit-based for him. I mean, he's had a good year.
Yeah, no, he has had a good year, but I don't see those jerseys anywhere. As a matter of fact, let's play a game. If you see a Contreras jersey by the end of the show, matter of fact, how about this? You want to bet? You want to put some money on this?
Nobody's going to
bet. I bet no. No's like minus 250.
All right. If anybody
trade on Kalshi for that one?
This will be like playing slapjack. You know, you're playing that game where when a jack comes out, you slap it.
Anybody
sees Contreras, just stop the show and we'll go, okay, somebody has a Contreras jersey.
Okay. All right, we'll do that.
Yeah, because you're right. I see a Mookie
jersey. What's your jersey right there?
Tatis.
David Ortiz.
There we go. We got a Padres fan.
Yep.
Oh.
All right, I'll keep my eye out. I got a perfect view of the street here.
But it is a great question. Side question, if they trade Contreras, will anybody be pissed? Like, now that he's the second highest spend purchase jersey that we know.
Nobody is going to be pissed of anyone getting traded on this
team. I don't think so.
I'll be mad if they trade Contreras.
Really?
That's like maybe the one guy that I'd be mad at.
You'd actually be mad?
I would, actually. Because if you trade Contreras, I feel like blowing it up completely to the point where it's unrecognizable signals to me a long-term rebuild. You keep around a guy like Contreras who can actually hit and likes the market and is a right-handed bat and a veteran leader, all that other stuff that you want. That's just one less thing you have to do in the rebuild, right?
So, but like, he's 34 and you're getting locked out. I mean,
you are getting locked out. That's true.
You see, Peyton Tolley, I would be a little upset. And Sonny Gray. Like, those are the two that I would be like, okay, but upset is a strong, strong word for how I would feel if anybody got traded on this team. I would be like, oh, man. That's about it.
But again, Gray's 36, so it's like both these guys, I get it. Like, they've had great, tremendous years for you, but if you're a seller and, you know, truly there's going to be a bidding war for their services, then it just makes baseball sense to flip them.
I mean,
Chapman, too.
Let's go to Kevin on line one. Kevin, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, gents?
What's up, buddy?
If you had to say right now, each team having to have one all-star, I would say Sonny Gray is going to represent the Red Sox. What do you guys think?
I'd say you're right.
Him or Contreras. Yeah.
Or Chapman. Chapman probably make it as a closer.
But Chapman's, has he had enough he hasn't pitched enough, has he? He barely pitched this season.
He hasn't pitched a lot, but his numbers are, aside from that thing the other day, his numbers are very, very strong.
And just
Contreras is like sixth for first. There's a lot of good first basemen, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably Sonny Gray, yeah.
The manager will pick the pitchers, right? So, or at least mostly the coaching staff picks those, so they'll
We may not see a Duran jersey. I've seen Duran jerseys out in the wild. I have.
I've seen those, yeah.
But I'm looking out, and there's people walking all up and down the street. I don't see one current player's jersey. I don't even see a Roman Anthony, but we'll see a Roman Anthony one.
Roman on the last check was like top 10 across baseball in sales. Like,
yeah.
So that's just to put into perspective how disappointing it's been for him, because he was up there with, you know, Freddie Freeman and Shohei and Aaron Judge, but here he is 2 months later. We still can't get an update.
It's really wild. I thought about that today. I was like, man, it's been 2 months on an injury that didn't even look like an injury, and it doesn't seem like anything's gotten better. Really weird.
When we talked to Chad Tracy last week, did you get the sense he was actually kind of annoyed by it? He was like, look, guys, if we have an update, I'll come to you. Please don't ask me anymore.
I don't care if I get crap for this, because I'm not talking trash on him at all. But if I'm Roman Anthony and I see how bad this team's playing, I am taking my sweet time until I'm 100% to get back.
Even though you're getting ripped?
He's not getting ripped. Who's ripping him right now?
Oh, I think people are.
I think lots of people are ripping Roman Anthony, and I don't think that that's the smart move for him. He's too young to be doing it. Like, it doesn't matter how the team is. For him, he's 22 years old. Like, he should be facing major league pitching. That's what should be going on with him, no matter what the team's doing. Like, he needs to get better. He needs to progress as a young player. He's not going to do that sitting around, you know, waiting for his hand to feel perfect. But, I mean, not being able to grip a bat after all this time is wild. Like, that's like a freak injury. And I feel bad that he has a freak injury. But also, you know, at some point, I don't want to call him soft, but you can call him injury prone. Like, he's a very injury prone young player.
Do we even know how long it takes for this thing to heal? Like, it's such a mystery.
2 months and counting.
Dude, we had Ted's guy on. I thought he said 12 weeks or something like that.
But he can't even pick up a bat right now, right?
He was swinging a fungo bat, right?
Bats. Yeah,
but it's like a fungo bat. He's like, I got a wiffle ball bat out there. Right. Like, this is really odd. And as I said, I don't think at all he's dogging it. I don't. But this is really weird. This injury's weird. The way that the team has handled it is weird. The whole vibe around this team is weird.
It's a mess.
Chad Tracy seems to be the only one who kind of seems normal in all this.
They've lost 16 series, and it's June 25th. 16 series.
They're the second worst team in baseball. They're the worst team in the American League. The worst team in baseball just beat you.
So by the transitive property, I think that means you're the worst team.
And that could be it. All right. Yeah. I see more like other teams' jerseys than Red Sox jerseys.
You see a lot of Goldschmidt.
Yep. I see a Dodgers one. I see a Mexico, Team Mexico. I saw a Padres one. What's up? How's it going? There's a Red Sox one. Let me see what team it is. Sir, with the Red Sox jersey, could you turn around? I want to see what player.
That guy has a Duran shirt. That's cool.
Hang on. Oh, wow. Oh, no player. He has an allegiance to no one.
By the way, Keith was mentioning this earlier. Do you think the U.S. kit for the World Cup is a little disappointing? He's down on it. I kind of agree. It's not the best look with just the stripes. No stars, no stripes.
I haven't really.
No opinion on it?
No, I haven't really noticed.
I'm down on Brazil. What happened to the bright neon Brazil jersey? Why are they wearing like navy blue?
Brazil jerseys are usually the best. Like the bright yellow?
Not this year.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. Come on, Brazil. What the hell are you doing? I don't. This is so frustrating. Now, all show, I'm going to be looking up trying to see if there's any current Red Sox player jerseys. Nobody has any. No current players. There's Ortiz everywhere. God bless David Ortiz.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he should talk every day. They should just interview Ortiz in the clubhouse like he's a current player. You know?
No question.
Talk to him about the old days.
All right, 617-779-7937. There was a huge article that dropped, just huge in size. Like, it was a pretty long article all about the, with some new details from the New York Times on the Diana Rossini Mike Vrabel situation. And there were some new nuggets in there. And a guy who's been on top of all of that is Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We will talk to him. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back with Mike Florio.